I don't see you for a while.
Luke 7. Luke 7, 7.
Luke 7.
17, I mean.
Oh, I said we're going backwards.
17, verse 7. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat or to food? And will you not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Do you think that that servant... Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And what's our duty to do in that parable? That's the big question. Our duty is always to serve the kingdom of God first before ourselves in every arena of our life. We don't do that. We rationalize. Again, we dance. Our life is always first. And we give what's left over to God. And we call it all kinds of things. We call it meeting need. We justify it. We rationalize it. But we are unprofitable servants to the nth degree. We spent much time on the word servant and the word feeding. In verse 7, now we'll go when he has come from the field. And I'm as guilty as everybody else, so I'm not pointing any fingers.
Well, I was thinking we want to be thanked for being believers. You know, it's like...
There are so many scriptures about discipleship that we dance around. But this one is probably the most dramatic. That we would think that we are asking God to serve us first. And it's a subject of a whole lot of our prayers. I was thinking about this because I've been in a whole lot of pain, and I deserve to be in 10,000% more pain. I don't have any rights, and for me to think that I should have a right, it makes a joke out of discipleship. Pray God that we will be blessed and we will be fed and we will be given wealth. And we laugh at the prosperity gospel preachers, but we don't see that we do it ourselves. We're always putting ourselves and our issues first. And then what's left over. And we even ask Him to serve us. then we wonder why there's no power in our prayer. Then we justify that even. I shouldn't get... It's like whenever I go through one of these sessions of pain, it's like I see this mystery of God deeper. And when I saw that I was putting me first before God this last time, it just made this parable come to life. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken? Afterward thou shalt sit and eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the thing that were commanded him? I think not. Let's consider the 12 apostles. They left everything. We've made all kinds of distinctions. We say, well, the apostles were just back for them. There are no more apostles. And then we say, well, it goes on and on what we say. Now we even say there are different types of believers. There's some that are called to ministry, and there's others that are just believers, and there are others that are disciples, but most are just believers. Well, what does it say that in the Bible? What does it have any distinction? You are called as an apostle. You are called to fall into the ground and die. No, not me. I'm not that. I'm called to be something else. The five ministries are one person, first apostle. He falls into the ground. Let's look at it. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, I think, or whatever it is. Chapter 4. And here it says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But that's not what it says in Greek. It doesn't, there's no word some in there. He gave first apostle. An apostle falls into the ground and dies. Because he can do nothing else, he foretells as a prophet. And because then some hear, he becomes an evangelist. Because the people come, then he has to be a pastor and a teacher. One man, five ministries. But it doesn't change it. We are all called to fall into the ground and die. Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Anybody have any response?
Amen.
singing the right before he gave that parable about the servant, they were asking for more faith. And it's like, the idea is you haven't been using the faith you got, you know. So you want more stuff.
Do you understand to be a believer it cost you your life and everything about it? Everything that makes you you is gone. I don't think I want to do that. I didn't think I wanted to do that either. It was kind of neat after the first conversion thing for a few weeks. Then I, wait a minute, this isn't so sweet. This isn't so good. I got a life. I got something. I got things to do. Responsibilities. One of the real reasons that I spent so much time studying was to find a place where I didn't have to die. There wasn't any. Anybody have any response?
That particular place, it's like what you're trying to save basically isn't worth saving. There's just not that much reward in life that lasts and is satisfying. And yet you'll walk around and up and down the mountain to try and save that which is of little value. I'm sure that's why the only poor.
Different people that I've met with lately, I've started to listen to morning Bible studies. Without exception, they say, I wished I hadn't listened. You see, when for instance, let's just look at something. Whenever Jesus healed anybody, it wasn't a gradual healing. It was instantaneous. Whenever the apostles healed somebody, it was instantaneous. The scriptures are legion. Pete made a whole list of them about whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Not, well, it's going to be gradual and it might happen and this might do this and that might do that. And why? Why don't we have that kind of power now? It's because we don't have this kind of discipleship.
Yeah,
but we're great dancers. We dance so well. Yeah. And we're like the snake. It just weaves around, comes up with ways to save himself, and ways to keep their own life and ways to just, it's the snake is never ending. That's why it's so appropriate that our minds are the snake. And yet we insist on using our minds. We can't believe that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We have to use our minds. That's what our minds tell us. All right, maybe you've got some other source for that information. No, the source is your mind and the mind of mankind. You can't live like that. You can't live by faith. You'd go sit in a corner. So what do you do instead? What you do is you ascribe faith to, you know, like, okay, I prayed and God gave me this. Or, but then you pray and he didn't give you that. So, I mean, so then we well, I must not have been praying in the will of God. What the hell does that mean? And I'm as guilty as anybody else. We don't see that this mystery of God is an abandonment of ourself completely. It's that thing I used to tell you about where at the farm we had a big lake on the farm, and every spring I just waited for it to get hot enough so I could run and grab that rope and just go swing out into the middle of the ocean, naked. That abandonment of self.
Yeah, that's a great picture, because you're out of control. And once you let go of the rope.
Yeah, a couple, more than once I got hurt. I probably got hurt each time, but it was worth it. Or the thrill of mountain climbing, where it's everything is a risk. I mean, I guess I was an adrenaline junkie in some ways, but it's like when you don't risk anything, there's no, you just get boring. Where's the abandon yourself? Pick up your cross. Well, I'll pick it up, but I'm going to pick it up with these conditions. You never say that, but that's what you mean. Oh, I can't do that because I got this to do and I got that to do. So, but the point of this is that's what we're saying in this parable. Or this. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? No, he's going to say, feed me. That's what Jesus Christ is saying to us. Feed my sheep. Feed yourself. And abandoning yourself to feeding your sheep, he will feed you. But it's not your business whether he feeds you or not. It's certainly not your business what kind of meal you're getting. Let's look at a couple places of this. The use of the word field. It's argos in the Greek. Go to Matthew 6. This is the whole thing about verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. Need I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these? Where so if God so clothed the the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The lilies of the field is this field. It's Argos. But how we dance around take no thought. And the funny part is we dance with the evil one. The evil one is who is controlling our dance. You understand? It's the only thing you can't think with anything other than the evil one. Does anybody believe that? Let's go to Matthew 19. This is another great one. This is again about fields. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of glory, he you shall also sit upon the 12 thrones.
Where are you?
Matthew 19, verse 28. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wives, or children, or lands for my sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. Now, everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands or fields, Argos, for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. And we receive a hundredfold because in the mystery of God, whatsoever things the body has are everyone's equally. So a need is impossible if the body were healthy. Again, none of the disciples said anything they had was their own. That's an axe, by the way. I didn't just make that up. Let's look at it. Acts 4. We're still looking at field. Acts 4. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, and neither said any of them that aught of their things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common. And great power gave he the apostles, witnesses, a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, having fields is what Argos here, sold it and brought it the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, let's go up to verse 8. Neither said, will not he rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup. This is to us, Christ is speaking. Make ready.
We're in Luke. We're back in Luke.
Luke now. We're reading what we were reading before. Luke 17, now we're in verse 8. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. On the parable, that's Christ saying to us, serve me first before you do anything else. And the word make ready there is interesting. It's hetomizo, but it's from an Oriental custom of sending workers before a king's journey to level the ground and make them passable. And it's where let's go there. Let's go to Matthew 3. This works out of me trying to tell them. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is here. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And that word for prepare is this word, hetomizo. And it's and Isaiah told him what to cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And he said, all flesh is as grass. And the glory of the flesh is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. Do we say that? We each drink the cup of Elijah, but do we say that to everybody we know? Of course not. That'd be too risky. We might admit we're believers, but we're believers by the world's standards. Not by this. Not by drinking the cup of Elijah. But metaphorically, what this means is that as we are preparing the food and everything for him, and we do that by this metaphor, if you will, to prepare the minds of men to give the Messiah a fit reception. Mm-hmm. That's what to prepare means. That's what to prepare for him means. And we do it with zeal. Will never a person in your life not know who you are. If you believe it.
That's like the key to that whole little thing you just said, was this is what you're supposed to do.
That's why
with your faith.
That's why I said it.
That's why you said it. That's why I'm saying what you said.
Good. As usual, I've gone over time. I just looked at the clock. Mm-hmm. We'll spend a little more time on this, as you can imagine. Anybody have any response?
I was thinking of that thing in Revelation where he says, you know, he's knocking on the door,
right,
come
gonna,
in and sup. You know, it's like, that's what that's
gonna,
all about.
That's what we're gonna, that's that's next. You're reading my notes.
That scripture, feed my sheep, is echoing, you know, just...
I mean, it is the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why the whole thing is this about this, because that we, when we studied feeding, that's what it came from, this parable. Nobody wants to justify something. Here, kitty.
Justify.
I thought you weren't feeling well.
I'm not feeling well. Shut up. I preach better when I don't feel well. I just want you to consider the possibility that I might be right. You've been listening to me for many years, but consider the possibility that this might be the truth. Harry used to say it has staggering implications. There's no halfway disciples in the Bible. There's no just believers. There's disciples. This is why I'm still concerned that if I die tomorrow, that zeal will leave. I'm not the only one with zeal, but I'm the only one that pushes it, that I see. I'm not a very good dancer when it comes to the scriptures. This screws with me as bad as it screws with you, so don't worry about it. John? I hear there was some wheels going or something.
I don't think so. Amen.
Mr. Bojo?
No wheels.
No wheels? Amen. Mr. Buckner?
Lots of wheels, we're out of time.
Doesn't work. Well, I don't want you to be faithful what you know. I want you to be faithful what the scriptures say. That's two different things. You can excuse what you don't know. You can't excuse what the scriptures say.
Let me change it to faithful to him.
Amen. I agree with that. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Push any buttons, Mr. Jeff?
Every morning.
All right, take it, big guy.